That first fishing report. Oh, Captain Wayne Miller up in the Mobile Tensaw Delta. Wayne, tell us what's going on this week. Tell us what we can expect for everybody that's got some time off here around the holidays.
Well, Merry Christmas, Joe. It's, from the standpoint of the Delta right now, you know, we're coming off that high water event, and it's still got a lot of really stained, muddy water in the main rivers. But the creeks are, you know, they're cleaning up, and, I'm catching quite a few fish, and I've talked to a lot of other people that are still doing pretty well on, especially soft plastics. The water temperature got down in the low 50s, and it's warmed back up some now. But, obviously when it gets cold and muddy, things can get tough really quick. So, as you go in these creeks down, especially on the south end of the Delta, you really want to try to target that cleaner water. And it seems like that's where the fish have really recouped and started biting a lot better.
Captain Wayne, last week I was talking with Richard Rutland, and we were off air discussing how we do these reports and we do these forecasts to try to give folks an idea of what the current conditions are and maybe what to expect for the weekend. But we also were talking about how important it is to just go fishing. You can sit here and pontificate what's going to happen and what might happen and all that, but there's nothing better than just getting out there and trying it. So reason I say that is when you're kind of thinking about these rain events that we're having up in the Delta and you're talking about these creeks clearing up, I know I lose some confidence when I'm not fishing clean water. What do you see with regards to when we have a significant rain? How long does it take for those creeks to get to the point where you feel confident or you feel like that water quality is good?
Typically on, especially on the south end, Joe, the good thing is we've got a lot of creeks that have a tremendous amount of grass in them. So on top of that, you've got the movement of the tide. So, that's moving that water and cleaning it in that grass. So, it works out really good. Typically, after a pretty significant event, you're looking at maybe a week where you've got some pretty rough, conditions, but, it starts cleaning up fairly quick. And, getting back to your point about, actually getting out and going, that's one reason that, you see these guys that, seem to always be able to go out and catch fish. Well, one reason for that, a large majority of them is the fact that they've spent time on the water and they know when they face these kind of conditions, they adapt to them and they know different areas to go to and, they actually get out there and try things.
Well, and they've failed a lot too, is the other thing.
Yeah.
You learn a heck of a lot from a day not catching anything.
Yeah.
It's just probably more than you do the days you do catch stuff.
Yeah, it's really amazing because, I tell people their days on the, down here, especially in the fall and the winter on the along the lower end of the Delta, where, if I don't catch, 50, 60 fish, I feel like, it wasn't a good day because, the fish are biting and I just know based on the conditions that's what we ought to catch. And there are other days where, if you can piece together a 5-fish limit, you've had a fantastic day.
Right.
So, it's based on the conditions. You really have to get out there and work. But that's kind of the juice of fishing, is really getting out there and figuring it out and putting together a pattern.
Well, Captain Wayne, I got one question for you. What's your last-minute gift idea for Christmas?
Well, I tell you, man, everybody's always looking for that one additional gift to get somebody, especially the old guys like me. And you're not old, but a lot of the outdoorsmen, because most of the stuff that we want, we've already bought.
Right.
And that's the challenge for wives and grandmothers and grandfathers and uncles and but I'll tell you one gift that is really fantastic that you can pick up virtually anywhere, and you really you know, hopefully you won't need it, but it's a first aid kit. You know, every boat, be it a, you know, a little small duck boat or a big bass boat, every boat should have a nice, well-equipped first aid kit in it. And what happens, most people, you know, they just, you know, they really don't, you know, ever think about replacing those first aid kits that come with the boats. And like I say, you know, it's a $15, $20 gift that you can buy virtually anywhere. And, you know, but when you need it out on the water or out in the woods, it's invaluable.
You're dang right about that, Captain Wayne. All right, man. Well, you have a good Christmas. Thanks for the report, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, Joe. Have a great one.
All right, let's take it on down south. Talk with Captain Bobby Abrascato. Bobby, how's it been going this week? Where are the fish at, man?
Joe, that's been pretty good, man. I've had some pretty good trips. Catching some really nice quality fish, you know, in the rivers on the west side. And getting, you know, some days we've had a chance to run, you know, we trout fish early and then run down in the marsh. And I've had just a great fall, which we've talked about on the reds down in the marsh. It's been kind of a nice, you know, icing on the cake thing to my trout trips. But been throwing a lot of, you know, slick lures, of course, is my, man, that's just the go-to bait for me now. And the charters do really well with them. The fish bite them, so hit them so hard, they're not real hard to hook fish on, you know. And so that's been the deal. I had the had the chance to fish with a 9-time Bassmaster Classic qualifier the other day, who's also sponsored by Rapala, and he brought some of these cool little he called them jerk baits. I call them crank baits. Whatever you want to do, it's kind of a rattle trapish looking type of bait with a little lip on it. And he did really well on those. Unfortunately, he left me some of those, so I've been trying some of those. But the slick's been the go-to deal for the trout in the rivers. And then when I get down to the marsh, it's a voodoo deal. I put some stink on them. You know, just get some bait scent and stink them up a little bit, and it really seems to help with the redfish on those.
Okay.
So that's been kind of the deal for me, man. I've been just tickled to death with some of the size fish I'm catching. You know, it's not 100 fish day. We're catching, you know, on a slow day 20, and on a good day 50, you know, but catching some, you know, if you ever were keeping them, you don't have to measure any of them. They're all plenty big enough.
Well, from talking to you guys about that slick lure, it seems like you may not catch quite as many fish as what you would say on a you know, a shrimp imitation, but you are catching a higher grade of fish. Is that right, or do you see
that's exactly right. And the operative word there is catch. You know, the trip yesterday we had, we probably only boated, you know, 20 trout, you know, or so, but we literally had, you know, three times that many bites. So you can really feel those fish, small fish, and you'll catch the occasional small fish on them. They'll get it in their mouth, but those small fish still try to eat it. So, you know, you're kind of, at least you're getting bit, which keeps you casting, you know, until one of those bigger ones decides to eat. But yeah, that's exactly right. You're going to catch the better quality fish in the group that you're around.
Well, you know, I was talking with Richard Rutland last week, and we were talking about the slick lure, and he was explaining that he works the bait a little bit differently than you do. That it didn't necessarily meant that one of you caught more fish than the other one. Y'all both just had different tactics. When you're using that with your customers, so folks that are maybe not used to it or fishing it the first time, do you have them using that slow roll technique that the way you fish it? Is there anything you recommend for somebody that's kind of first starting out? A lot of people are having questions about it, and they want to know, how do they work that bait? So what do you recommend for somebody just starting out?
Well, the one thing I'd keep in your mind, you know, if you forget everything else, is you can overwork that bait. So I always think, you know, tell them, if you think you're fishing it slow, slow down just a little bit, because the lure doesn't need to be worked very fast, you know. So I reel, you know, with an 8-0-1 gear ratio reel, I'm reeling just about as slow as you possibly can turn the handle with a gentle roll. You have to almost watch my tip to see the tip move. That's all the action I'm putting on it. So that's the thing I tell them, is throw it out there. The other thing is, you want to make sure you work yourself in, especially fishing, you know, where the fish are right now, or in you know, 3 to 8 feet of water. You got to work in about a 2 count of letting that bait sink a little bit before you start working it, you know. So that's the two things. I want to make sure it gets down to the right depth and stays at the right depth. The other thing, if you start working too fast, it comes straight up to the surface and they're not going to hit it, you know. So
yeah,
you got to really slow down and really kind of make sure you're not exaggerating the action you're putting on the lure. If you watch it with just a gentle twitch of your rod, that thing will move 6 or 8 inches from side to side. So it doesn't require, you know, a lot of jerking to get that thing to work. But if you are jerking it the way Richard, he jerks it and works in a big pause in between jerks, so it lets that bait settle. So he'll jerk it real hard and lets it settle, whereas I never stop reeling. I'm kind of constantly reeling and rolling the lure, you know. So, but the key thing is, you know, even though he's jerking it hard, he's still killing that lure and letting it sink back down like a wounded mullet or something.
Well, and what I'm hearing from both of you guys, and I've heard this from other guys, is the important thing about that is that you're keeping that bait in the strike zone, the strike zone, and both of you are getting it into the strike zone, maybe with a different method, but that's the key point, is that if you're spending too much time in the upper part of the water column or right on the bottom and those fish are hanging, you know, right around the middle of the water column, then you're going to miss those bites. So
that's exactly right. Yeah, if you get it up on the surface in particular, if you really get it up on the surface, you're just not going to be successful with it, you know. And so you got to – and sometimes you even have to tweak the bait a little bit, you know, adjust where the hook comes out, you know, adjust the bend in the lure to make sure that it's not coming to the surface or diving. You know, you really want it laying. I show them when we set it up, and after a fish hits it, a lot of times you have to readjust it. But you want it where it's laying completely flat, straight across, like just perfectly flat, so there's no bend or bow in the lure. That also helps with the action, keeping the bait where it's supposed to be.
Well, Bobby, good luck for the rest of this week. I hope you and your family have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you when we come back on the other side of the holidays.
All right, sounds good, JoJo. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
We've got Captain Patrick Garmison with Ugly Fishing on the line. Captain Patrick, tell us what's going on in the Causeway and Upper Mobile Bay, what we can expect for this pre-Christmas weekend.
Well, Joe, if anybody's crossed the Causeway or been on the Causeway lately, they've probably noticed the water's pretty brown, pretty muddy, real fresh on top. That all means that it looks bad. And it can be quite discouraging for somebody, especially if they're new to fishing the Causeway or even just fishing wintertime patterns. But it doesn't necessarily mean that everything's blown out and washed out. One thing that I was just looking at on the internet, you can look at like the river stages and stuff, and Barry's steam plant is around 8 feet, which is it's about 4 feet higher normal than what I would like to see. But the good news is it's on a downward slide. And I have seen fish start biting as soon as that river starts to recede at 8 feet, 10 feet, even as high as 12 feet high. And these are times when people would normally not even think about sucker trout fishing on the Delta. But it, for some reason, as soon as that river starts to recede, regardless of what it crested at, those fish will start to feed again. And a lot of the areas that I'm going to look and have been looking are in these pockets in the Mobile River, just focusing on these deep holes where these ships can turn around and stuff like that, where it's really out of the main current and deep water, and where these bait fish that the trout are feeding on can out of the current as well. And that's really important for this time of the year, where the fish are not going to really try to swim against that really hard current coming down the river, so they're going to stay out of that stuff and looking for the deep areas. And going back to what I've been talking about on the radio and the podcast lately is watching your bottom of the game, looking for life.
Yeah, well, you know, I really like that tip, Patrick, as far as just waiting for the water to recede. I know I've been guilty of just thinking of it in terms of, you know, the water's up, even if I wasn't looking at which way was it going. That's a really interesting observation that you've made. And it sounds like if folks are dead set on fishing the Causeway or the Lower Delta or Mobile River, that there could be some opportunities coming up this weekend, but tell me, where are you thinking about fishing?
I've got some guys that are I've got a fellow that's real interested in learning more about the west side, so I'm certainly going to do a little bit of fishing in Mobile River. I don't expect to just set the world on fire, but I also expect to bend the rod just a little bit. And I'm fortunate to where when I have a guy that's looking to learn a little bit, bending the rod once or twice in different areas. Most people are content with that. So I got a little bit of lenience there, and then I think from Mobile River all the way down towards the canal is going to be kind of my stomping ground. The canal has been okay as well. White trout, speck, redfish, puppy drum, mangrove snapper. I mean, there's been quite a variety down there. If you want to fish with some live bait, and they are hitting some grubs down there too.
Well, that's what I like about you, Patrick.
Three stomping areas for the next several days.
Well, that's what I like about you, Patrick. You're not scared to, you know, redneck it up like me and just fish for what's biting. I like speckled trout and redfish as much as anybody, but man, it's just something to be said for just going out there and catching a mess of just about anything. And so it sounds like there are some good opportunities down there around the canal. All right, I got a question for you. Wayne Miller had a really good last minute gift idea. What's your last minute gift idea for this year?
Well, I think I'm actually going to scoop some more of these up myself. It's Breakline sunglasses. They've been around for a little while, and these guys have really taken sunglasses to the next level on the clarity that you're getting out of these lenses and stuff. I've been using them for a while, and right now they have a Blue Christmas sale. So if you like the blue mirror tint sunglasses, they're selling them right now for 60% off. And if you order them today, they're still guaranteeing before Christmas delivery. And that's all their frame styles. So it's I've really enjoyed them. And if you're looking for a really good pair of sunglasses at a really good discount, right now is the time to do it.
Cool. All right, Patrick. Well, thanks for the report, man. Have a Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Joe. I appreciate it.
All right, let's head up to Miller's Ferry. We got Joe Dunn on the line. Joe, sounds from Patrick like the rivers are starting to come down a little bit. What does that mean for Miller's Ferry crappie fishing?
Well, like I said, this last high water we had, it was a major high water. We went to flood stage, and that's going to be a big game changer for this time of year. It's going to move the fish. A lot of your bait fish are going to channel up into some of the bigger creeks or some of the bigger sloughs. And obviously everything's going to have to get out of all that current muddy water and get up in there. So now we're going to have to shift gears from, say, like we were a few weeks ago, to bottom bouncing out in the river on the ledges. We're going to have to move inside a little ways. I mean, they're not going to spawn yet, but they're sitting right there on the road to head that away. So they're going to be in those channels in, you know, 18 to 25 foot of water in some of the bigger creeks and channels. And now is you're going to have to start doing some different stuff. Trolling right now is probably going to be a good thing to do, because those fish are just going to be really more or less suspended and just meandering around chasing bait fish, because all those places will be full of shad too. And you can either troll, or you can hunt some structure like we were doing in the river, but now inside the creeks and big sloughs with that big channel in it, and you can actually drop down, say, vertical jig down inside of those tops or in that structure, or you can actually even use the bottom bouncing technique, but now you're going to be doing it inside the creeks and sloughs now instead of out in the main river.
Talk to me a little bit about vertical jigging strategy. So what I mean by that is, I was talking with Bobby Abrascato earlier in the show, and Bobby was talking about the importance of keeping, he's talking about speckled trout fishing, but it's all the same.
Right.
He's talking about the importance of keeping your bait in the strike zone. You know, you may have, say you got 8 feet of water and those fish are all hanging, they're going to feed within a certain part of that water column. If you're vertical jigging for crappie, are you starting on the bottom and finding fish that way? Are you using your electronics? And how much variance do you need to have in terms of what part of the water column are you working?
Okay. Definitely you want to key in with your electronics. Electronics are going to play a big factor now in this, too. And you can actually obviously see the big schools of bait fish. And your crappie are going to be, usually they're going to be located just up under them, or if they're definitely in a feed mode, they're going to be right there suspended somewhere below them or in that zone there. So you look at it, and that's what you try to figure out, you know, get that jig right there in front. And crappie fishing with the jigs and this time of year, it's not a matter of feet. How close? It's a matter of inches. You got to get it right in the. I mean, you can't be. I fished with some guys one day and get tickled where I'll be catching fish, and maybe I ain't told them exactly. You know, they think they're at about the same depth as me, but they won't be. And that's the reason you got to get real, real close.
I'm a saltwater guy. You know that. But, like, when I'm fishing offshore, say we're snapper fishing or. Tuna fishing or anything like that. And captain yells down. Captain says, you know, the fish are at 80 feet.
Right.
I've got a pretty good idea how to get my bait right to 80 feet. You know, I'll pull from the reel to the first eye on my rods of roughly 2 feet. You know, I'll pull about 40 pulls out, and I get my bait to where I want it. And then I'll prospect around right in that range to try to find exactly where they are. How do you do that when you're talking about inches?
With what I do with mine is you'll hold your crappie pole, and I use a 12-foot is what I use to do most of my jig fishing with, and you'll hold your rod straight up and just see, you know, where you're at when you start off, you know, say at the bottom or the base of the pole, well, then you know you're roughly 12 feet when you get your tip right to the edge of the water, and then you keep working your way up or working your way down to whatever you need to do or whatever you're seeing on your, you know, on your depth finder or your bottom machine, and use that. Use your pole. Your pole is going to be your gauge.
Okay.
You know, you got either 12-foot or a 10-foot pole, and if you need to be down 10 foot, sometimes you'll go past the base of your pole just a little bit, your handle, and that way you just use your pole as your guide.
That's a great tip, Joe. All right, Joe. I've asked everybody this week, what's your last minute gift idea?
Like I said, if you're just buying for, you know, somebody that's all around, or maybe somebody that doesn't hunt and fish a lot, the Bata Pro Bowls do real good. Because you can fry anything. And you know, that's like we talked about, that's a messy situation if you don't have something that'll hold your cornmeal or your flour, whether you're frying fish, chicken. And I like it especially like for vegetables. Stuff like that, you know, especially when you're doing fried green tomatoes or squash or anything like that.
That's a good idea. Good idea.
Made by Cajun Injector. It's a good little old deal. I really like it. And I mean, and we have people coming in all the time getting those. And I mean, you can buy that for anybody.
That's a good idea, Joe. Well, Joe, have a Merry Christmas. We will talk to you again after the holidays.
All right. See you later, Joe.